Welcome to our show, everybody. I'm Rick Pettigrew. Our stories from this past week of Archaeologica report on the discovery of an airplane lost in the sea 74 years ago near Puerto Rico, a revised assessment of the manner of death for three children sacrificed by the Inca, a new analysis of cave paintings in the Basque Country that identifies a meaningful pattern, an excavation of an Australian cave that shows continuous ritual use for 25,000 years. We'll get to those in a few seconds. Thanks to everyone for supporting our subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We have hundreds of titles you can binge upon, including the recent video series about searching for the lost aircraft of Amelia Earhart. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue in January 2027 with our tour of Maya cities in the Yucatan. Registration is still open for that. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. And now, here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of July 19th through the 25th, 2026. We begin this week in Puerto Rico with an exciting resolution of a 74-year-old aviation mystery. As Heritage Daily reports, the Good Friday tragedy struck on April 11, 1952, when a Pan American Airways passenger plane bound for New York City lost an engine shortly after takeoff. Every passenger and crew member survived the impact with the rough seas below, but the aircraft flooded and sank within just 3 minutes. Despite a rapid response from the U.S. Air Force and U.S. Coast Guard, only 17 people survived. Language barriers, combined with the era's lack of pre-flight safety briefings and emergency procedures, turned the evacuation chaotic and claimed 52 lives, making this one of the worst aviation disasters in Puerto Rico's history. The extreme depth of the water hid the wreck for the next 7 decades. Then, in 2019, aviation and maritime historian Russ Matthews picked the search back up while researching a separate Pan Am crash. Matthews' organization, the Air Sea Heritage Foundation, partnered with ocean exploration company Deep Sea Vision and a team from the Discovery Channel's Expedition Unknown to continue the hunt. The Expedition Unknown team dug up previously overlooked archival materials, survivor testimonies, communication transcripts, and a chart Air Force pilots who witnessed the crash had drawn to guide rescue crews, and used them to narrow the search area considerably. On June 2nd, the team finally spotted it, the bright aluminum fuselage of Pan American Airways Flight 526A. High-resolution sonar from an advanced autonomous underwater vehicle let them pinpoint the plane's remains 2,000 feet below the surface. Once they confirmed the site, they carried out a photographic survey that captured a remarkably well-preserved fuselage, the iconic Pan American winged logo, and the aircraft's name, the Clipper Endeavor, are both still visible. This disaster pushed the Civil Aeronautics Board to require pre-flight safety demonstrations and standardized emergency briefings measures that have undoubtedly saved countless lives since. Expedition Unknown is finishing an episode on the Clipper Endeavor's journey, search, and discovery, set to air later this year. Meanwhile, the Air Sea Heritage Foundation is working with the Puerto Rican government to secure legal protections for the wreck site and build a permanent memorial for those who perished. Our next story takes us to Chile, where archaeologists are using modern tools to learn more about the Capacocha, the ancient Inca sacrifice ceremony. As Life Science reports, a team of Chilean and European researchers used CT scans and microscopy to study the mummies of three children first unearthed in the mid-20th century. They published their findings in the journal Science Advances. The first mummy, known as the El Plomo Boy, was 8 or 9 years old when the Inca sacrificed him near the 17,700-foot summit of Cerro El Plomo. Archaeologists recovered him in 1954 at this site in central Chile, roughly 500 years after his death in the 15th century. The other two mummies, a girl of about 9 and another around 18, together known as the Cerro Esmeralda girls, turned up in 1976 in northern Chile's Atacama Desert. Carbon dating places their sacrifice about 30 years before the El Plomo boys. The research team's new examination found that the El Plomo boy died from blunt force trauma to the head, a finding his original 1954 exam had missed. The team also revised the Cerro Esmeralda girl's cause of death to indeterminate. Archaeologists had long believed strangulation killed them, but this new analysis found their hyoid neck bones weren't fractured or displaced. The marks on their necks most likely came from their clothing after death. To reconstruct the children's diets at a molecular level, the team ran isotopic analysis on small hair samples. The results showed their diets shifting as they apparently traveled hundreds of miles across ecologically distinct regions. The Cerro Esmeralda girls likely covered between 560 and 745 miles in their final 3 months, while the El Plomo boy may have traveled roughly 1,700 miles over his final 9 months. According to Veronica Silva Pinto, an archaeologist at Diego Portales University in Santiago, Chile, and the study's lead author, these findings suggest that the central Inca state may have used Capacocha to affirm its presence across newly incorporated territories. The communities the children passed through would have welcomed them and held ceremonies with food and drink. Other researchers, however, urge caution with this interpretation, noting that the isotopic data may simply reflect seasonal changes in diet rather than a change in location. Either way, this study shows just how much new tools can still reveal about old discoveries. We now head to the Basque country of Spain and France, where archaeologist Iñaki Inchaurbe has identified a hidden pattern across hundreds of prehistoric cave paintings. As Phys.org reports, Inchaurbe carried out this study during his postdoctoral research in the Department of Graphic Expression and Engineering Projects at the University of Basque Country, EHU. He published his findings in the Journal of Archaeological Method and Theory. Inchaurbe began by identifying 500 graphic motifs spread across 9 caves, dating between 14,000 and 16,000 years ago. He made digital copies of each figure, then applied network-based analyses and statistical techniques, including multivariate statistical analysis and network analysis, to evaluate them. These techniques revealed a clear relationship among the most common elements in the paintings. A hierarchy emerged. Bison, horses, and goats sat at the center, while other animals appeared around them. Nearly all of the animals faced left, except the horses, which faced right. Because only a few rare exceptions broke this pattern, Inchaurbe believes the artist made these choices intentionally and that they carried symbolic meaning. This idea isn't entirely new. Back in the 1950s, archaeologists had already noted the animal's predominantly leftward orientation and attributed it to the artist's being mostly right-handed. Inchaurbe's data pushed the conversation in a different direction. Since horses appeared among the most frequently depicted animals, orienting them to the right must have mattered enough to the artist that they accepted the inconvenience. We still don't know exactly what these orientations meant, but their frequency and consistency suggest something like a grammatical structure rather than random artistic choice. A viewer at the time likely understood that the paintings were expressing or communicating something specific. Inchaurbe has published his methodology and database for other researchers to use. Because his techniques center on co-occurrence analysis and combinatorial structures, they could extend well beyond cave art into historical inscriptions, linguistics, and paleography. Finally, we turn to southeastern Australia, where a new study traces 25,000 years of connection between a cave, the local Aboriginal community, and their ritual practices. As ConnectSci reports, the Gunai Kurnai people are the traditional custodians of a large stretch of the Gippsland region, which spans the southern slopes of the Victorian Alps in the east of Victoria. Clogg's Cave, east of Melbourne, has long served as a site for Gunai Kurnai spiritual practices. Earlier excavations there turned up the oldest known wooden artifacts in Australia, dating back roughly 12,000 years, along with other fat-smeared trimmed wooden sticks. Now, archaeologists are working with Gunai Kurnai officials to investigate another layer of this history, the ash and sediment left behind by hundreds of generations of ancestors. As the research team explains in the journal Frontiers in Environmental Archaeology, they built their analysis on excavations completed in 2019 and 2020, examining the age, variety, and condition of phytoliths at various spots in the cave. These microscopic silica bodies accumulate wherever a plant decays, or, as the Gunai Kurnai often did, wherever someone burns it. Because no light reaches the cave's interior, no plants grow there naturally. That means every phytolith had to arrive carried in by a person or animal passing through. Focusing on the half-burnt phytoliths in the ashy sediment layers, the team identified 73 thin layers at the top of two small pits, laid down between 4,400 and 1,600 years ago. They cataloged 29 different phytolith types, about 18% of which showed signs of burning or melting. Most came from various grasses, with a smaller share from herbs and woody plants. Their distribution across the deposits shows that people carried the plants into the cave to burn throughout the entire 25,000-year span. According to Bruno David, co-leader of the excavations and an archaeologist at Monash University, these findings align with Gunai Kurnai traditional practices, which used ash to perform magic, conduct rituals, and track the footsteps of anyone who entered the cave, human, spirit being, or otherwise. The results back up oral histories, describing the continuity of these cultural practices across thousands of years. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, be sure to check out our growing subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.